Podcast. Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Let's do this.
Welcome to the first episode of Layman's Lab, where we dive into the science of self for the modern man. My name's Jason. This is my co-host, Kevin. Today, we're not just introducing our podcast. We're planning foundation of why it exists. Before we dive in, a big shout out to our sponsor, Metroflex, where a community shapes strength. Kev, what do you think of Metroflex, buddy?
Dude, I love that, Jim.
Man, it was a... I remember coming from Canada, right? And there's a couple of nice gyms, but they're all pretty much everything in Canada is commercial. There's a couple of private gyms, but nothing like Metroflex. Yeah. And I almost killed myself.
Yeah.
I remember driving down 60 when I was moving to Valrico.
Yeah.
And I remember driving in, and all I saw was Metroflex. And I literally almost took two cars out to try and swerve in and go see, is this the Metroflex? I walked in, and I just see a big picture of Ronnie Coleman. And that was it.
Dude, his videos playing in the background always get me going.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't understand, if you're a Ronnie Coleman fan or a training fan and you've seen the Yeah Buddy.
Lightweight, baby.
I'm telling you, Metroflex is the place to go. And the owner, Matt, is the nicest guy.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, I want to support local, too. Like, I love just supporting local businesses. And, the old school Iron.
You've
got, like, good equipment in there. It's a good crowd of people. Like, nobody's rude. It's people really care for each other, try to help each other. A lot of competitors, a lot of bodybuilders in there, too.
Yeah,
a lot of people serious about training like us. It's a good place.
It's kind of a different concept when you walk into a gym. Like, I've trained major commercial, right? There's just the crunches, those really good commercial gyms. There's nothing wrong with them, for anyone going in. But the level of the type of person that goes to a Metro
is different,
It's a different.
I mean, we get after it at Crunch, but like, we go to Metro, we get after it, but it's just a different vibe, different environment.
Yeah, you want to kind of kill yourself at Metro Flex.
Yeah, it's definitely motivating. So if you're local to the area, hit up Metro for sure.
Yeah, so... as you probably told us, we're both from Tampa. My name's Jason.
Okay.
This is my buddy Kevin. Let me introduce who I am. So I am a ex-South African, currently an African-American.
Nice.
South African-American, officially.
A real African-American.
A real African-American. Imagine that. And I moved to the United States from Canada around about 2 years now. It'll be 2 years in January, actually.
Nice.
Right? I spent the first year kind of getting feet settled. And then second year... met Kevin, the BNI, and instant.
It was a bromance.
Yeah, it was. It's kind of strange when you, especially as you get older, right?
Yeah.
Buddies are difficult to get. You kind of maintain those friends that you have from your childhood.
Yeah.
And then as you kind of go through everything, you meet people, and eventually there's just something like, okay, everything just kind of sets in, right?
I know.
And
I feel like we talked like half a day the first time we met.
Oh yeah.
Realized like this is a good connection. And we started talking business out of the gate, but a lot of just background sports and athletics, which is cool because we have a very different athletic background, but a lot of commonalities, which is what I'm excited about with this podcast, and just be able to bring all that to light. So definitely good.
And also your basis. No one knows where you come from, Kev, so tell them a little bit about your background, bud.
Yeah, I'm originally from Griffith, Indiana, which is outside of Chicago, basically next door to where Michael Jackson grew up, in Gary, Indiana, which nobody knows where my hometown is. I always say Chicago because it's just easier. But college athlete, played Division I baseball, went to the military, so was an Army guy. And then went to corporate for a little bit. Got out of shape, which is kind of what led me on a journey to being here today, which we'll break all that stuff down later, really a short version of like a journey in life, has led us to this podcast. It's two people colliding. I think it's really cool. But yeah, that's really short, like where I'm from. Been in Tampa since 2009. Mm-hmm. Married 14 years, and then three kids.
You and me both, buddy.
Yeah.
I got three kids though. I got four dogs.
Four dogs. That's a lot of kids too. Your shit in the house or outside, either one. My shit in the house and outside too. So I got both.
Okay, so let's break down what Layman's Lab is. So
yeah.
I'm gonna give my rendition and then
add. Hey, how about that sign though?
Man,
that's my favorite thing so far.
Listen, is for anyone listening. So my wife is a jack of all trades. And one of her many skills was, do you guys need a sign? And she did this together in about a week.
Yeah.
And let's just say she hit it out the fucking park. Oh, yeah.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Love
it's
it.
It's
so,
it
really thank you, is. Helene. We love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, Layman's Lab. For me personally, what I found, whether it would be in business, personal life, spirituality, I've always found when I connect with other guys, the biggest thing that I find that I struggled with for a long time in my life, and what other people struggle with as well, is balance.
Mm.
We tend to get into business, especially entrepreneurs. You're an entrepreneur, you own your own business. I'm an entrepreneur, yep. I own my own business. And we all get into business for the same reason.
Yep.
We get into business to make the best for our families, take ourselves on a higher level, and be in charge of our own destiny.
Yep.
What I found was, is specifically with entrepreneurs, they already have the discipline.
Yep.
But they get into the business aspect of it, and then they kind of lose one or more parts of those three balance points. Yep. Right. So the one could be spirituality kind of takes a back seat. Or in the other sense, you know, the mind, kind of keeping your mind sharp might go this way depending on the job you're doing.
Yep.
And then the one that usually takes a back seat is continuously being physical and being in good shape.
Yeah, for sure.
And
I love that.
For me personally, like what I found is if you don't connect all three, your yeah. balance falls down, and then your purpose for your business goes in. Whether it be a failing relationship,
yeah.
whether it be your health taking a knock, whether it just be your self-esteem. You know, I mean, we've all been there. You pick up a lot of pounds, it gets out of control,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you look in the mirror and go, who's this guy?
Yeah, for sure.
So for me, this is a redefining to help people just like us
yeah.
figure out how to navigate that, especially in today's world.
Yeah. Well, I think it's that's a really good point. Like the pendulum swings, right? If you think of that example, I've always been all in on something, and then everything else suffers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go in on whatever suffering, I go all in on that,
yep.
and then something else suffers, right? So it's like, how do you do it all? How do you balance it all? And I'm really passionate about us talking about these subjects because we're not alone, yep. as we know. Like we figured that out really quick when yeah. we met, but. You know, there's so many men, like you and I talk about this all the time, where we get so many different phone calls or random text messages or people that connect with us in some way, shape, or form. And I've experienced this lately, like you've talked about, where people just, they see how you look. And so they want to talk to you about fitness. They want to talk to you about something to do with the way you look, right? Yeah. And so when you start really, like, paying attention to just the people of the world, there's a lot of people in need. There's a lot of people unhurt. And, like, we got a story to share. We got a story to tell, like, very different but very similar things where, you know, you go all in on one thing and everything else suffers. But how do we balance it all?
Yeah.
Like, how do we put it all together and have everything and be successful at everything we do?
Yeah.
You know, we're still trying to figure that out, but I think we got some pretty good solutions.
Yeah. But also, it's a never-ending pendulum, right? Because,
yep.
you know, you're continuously trying to balance these things.
Yep.
And the modern man... If we want to call that, you're on the back foot,
yeah.
right? Because yeah. if you're too masculine, you're overly aggressive.
Yeah.
If you're not masculine enough, then you know you're not fulfilling the purpose you need to.
Yeah.
So it's about getting back and understanding and realizing there is no such thing as toxic masculinity.
Right.
It's a term that was made to, I think, kind of keep men down.
Yeah.
I think
I agree.
You know, Jocko says a very good post, you know, because generally when you talk about masculinity, people think about anger and rage.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this, and I got to be honest, until I heard him explain it, I never really took it in, because you sometimes see anger and rage as a positive, a thing that men do. You know, yeah. I get angry, right? Yeah. And that's okay, because I'm a man. And he said it, and you know what? He was so on point. Anger is a weakness.
It is.
It is absolutely a weakness.
It took me a long time to learn that.
You know, because you kind of, it's almost like a fail safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something goes wrong, that anger is what drives me. It's what pushes me. But it's not really.
Well, I remember, I mean, you almost get trained in this in sports. Like, I remember in college specifically, mm-hmm. like, you know, myself or other dudes would strike out or something. You're pissed off because you're a competitor, right? You hate to fail. So you come in and you just fucking wear out a trash can.
Yeah.
Like, fucking take everything, throwing bats, screaming, yelling, fucking fuck this, fuck that. But you're not controlling any kind of anger or aggression there. And so, and this, you know, I played baseball 20 plus years ago. But like, when you think about the way we've evolved and we've really learned a lot about not doing that kind of stuff yeah. and how that's like just out of control emotions that need to be kept in check, and that's not good for sports. There's a lot of mental health stuff out there. But I totally agree. Like, you've got to be able to, it's a light switch, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Like, anger should be controlled at all times.
Yeah. It's that ability to control it, right? It's
yeah.
it's and you know where it comes out, because with you, who's been a professional sportsman, I mean, and you're a vet, so you've seen some shit.
Yeah.
And what I often find is you generally tend to have a good control, right? Else you wouldn't be the person you are today. You wouldn't have been succeeded in professional sports. You wouldn't have succeeded in the military. You wouldn't have succeeded in business.
Right.
Because if you couldn't control your mind. So it's not, we're not talking about the average guy who just loses his mind.
Right.
We're kind of filtering more in about the small things, right? So, you know, when your wife annoys you.
Yeah.
And you get angry and then you go in. And for the longest time,
which is every day.
You know what I mean? It's just part of life.
Little shit.
It's just marriage, right? And that relationship, for the longest part of my relationship, I'd get into these arguments.
Yeah.
Right? And I'd get so upset. And there would be a point where you kind of realize that you've stepped the line, and then you justify it by your pride and your ego, right?
Yep.
And you keep pushing it in. And recently, I've been much better at controlling those outcomes because it's the person that you want. You're spending this is your person.
Yeah, right?
This is
for
the person
sure.
I spend the rest of my life with, and you kind of get those outcomes. But my personal belief is if you can handle that on a personal level with your wife. Right, because that's usually where we lose our shit.
You know, and there's so many places we can go with that. You know, firsthand, like I've lived so much of that stuff. But like, and I love my wife. Obviously, you are with someone all day, every day, or even just like over a course of 14 years.
Yeah.
Little things that you pick up on that annoy you, and you let it bother you. But why?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what's the triggers behind that? And so that's something I've really looked at, and you know this. Like, I've really dove into like. Why did I do that? Why did I behave that way? Why did I act like that? And I've got a lot of stuff, and at some point we'll probably go into some of it, but like a lot of things behind my outrages or like actions that I've done and things that I've done that I'm not proud of.
Yeah.
And so I would tell anyone that's listening, like when something triggers you, figure out why it triggers you. Like lean into
root cause, right?
What's the root cause of
this thing? What is the real reason that this is happening?
Because
And again, Layman's Lab is, for me, is about digging into these subjects.
Yeah, for sure.
And simplifying them. Because what generally happens is we're in a commercial world. Everything is a sales pitch.
Yeah.
Right? And as you know, in my business, and as I've seen in yours, is the last thing I want to do is sales pitch anybody.
Right.
I have a service. If you need service, right, we're going to work together, get you to where you want to be. But I'm not here to try and take from you. I'm trying to help you.
For sure.
And what I found in just the personal aspects of everybody, especially men, I'd say that there's that point as a young man where you kind of switch over and you start becoming responsible. You know, you realize, okay, it's all on me.
Yeah.
So much we want to believe the world isn't, it's still all on us.
Yeah.
We're the guys who have to provide.
Yeah.
And I think this is about taking the people who feel this overwhelming, because an explanation that I recently came about is to try and explain to my wife how a man feels. And tell me if you agree. Is... A man is at his best when he's continuously under pressure.
When he's continually under pressure,
If you take him off out of pressure, he feels useless, right? And then he starts diving into things that he shouldn't.
Right.
So he constantly wants to be under pressure.
Right.
Whether it be the physicality of trying to keep in shape, whether it be work stress, family stress, trying to keep everything together. Yeah. And what happens is that pressure builds, and we have our releases. Yours and mine is hitting the gym.
Yeah.
Right. It may be reading a book. Sometimes it's just your wife walking up behind you and hugging you from the back and realizing 100%. This is why I'm fighting every day.
Yeah.
And I found personally, you know, that analogy kind of, it was the first time that my wife was like, you know what? That makes sense to me. Because what they're trying to do is, they're our spouse. They're trying to take the pressure off us. And it's like, no.
No doubt.
I don't need you to take it off. What I need you is, I need you to understand that pressure is what keeps me going.
100%.
And there's going to come times where that pressure might get too much, and that's when the dark takes over. You know those times where it feels like everything's on top of you.
Yeah.
And the world's getting dark, and I don't know how I'm going to cope, and then it kind of becomes, you know, this avalanche that just kind of rotates.
There's a lot of guys that I follow that talk about the darkness, right? And we had this conversation just last week. If you sit in that darkness, man, so much good comes from that. Like, you just got to keep your eyes on the light, but so much good comes from the darkness.
You make a good point. You got to keep your eyes on the light. You cannot let that darkness take you over. You want the darkness. It's what's going to drive you to the next level.
Yeah.
It's going to take you to the next
level. Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger, we love to lift, so we'll cite some Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's like, the greatest struggles give you your greatest strengths.
Absolutely.
Right? I totally agree with what you're saying about the pressure on a man. Like, we thrive in pressure.
Yeah.
But it's got to be the right pressure. But we also have to feel... because we're doing it for a reason, right? We're providers, and we need purpose. We need a higher power, a higher calling, if you will. That's why I went. That's part of why I went to the military. Yeah. You know, for me, it was like a bigger purpose and higher calling and something bigger than myself. You come from a team or sports background. Mm-hmm. You're doing something for the greater good of an organization, absolutely, a purpose, a mission, a patriot thing, whatever you want to say. And I think when we lose that, mm-hmm, like this is what I dealt with. What's my purpose? Like, where am I going? What am I trying to do? What's about my family? I'm trying to provide a better life for my wife and kids. And then that kind of gets lost sometimes because, like, in my story, like, we'll get into this later, but, like, I got lost in the corporate world. And I hate to say I became a victim of that corporate world, but I kind of did.
Yeah.
And I allowed myself to become the victim, and I misplaced all my priorities and just took everything as, like, I'm just trying to make money to provide them a better life. But then I got so overwhelmed, so stressed, out of shape. It's fucking miserable. And it's like, well, how do I get out of this shit?
Let's touch on that for a second, because so you're sitting in this corporate job, which I'm pretty sure thousands of people are going to, whoever we touch is going to have a similar story, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've got the same one. So you're in a corporate job. So we're not talking about working at the local McDonald's and earning $15 an hour.
Right? Yeah, six-figure income, right, stock options.
You're making money.
You're doing good. You're a performer.
However, you didn't feel like you're fulfilling your purpose.
No.
You're looking after your family, right? You're fulfilling. But how much time did it take you away from your family?
Oh, all of it. I mean, dude, I worked, and I won't, I mean, people can find what company it was, and I won't ever talk bad about the company I worked for because it did a lot for me. However, you know, I came to the company and, like, I got promoted fast into these big, larger roles, mm-hmm, because I was a performer, right? I could do things pretty above average, and I got thrown into positions that I wasn't ready for.
Yep.
So I had to outwork my situation. So I would work these long days. I would get into my office some days at 5 a.m. I'd be there till 6-7 at night, mm-hmm, whether you had a training early morning or something. And I'm sure there was a lot of ways I could have managed my time better, but I would have to learn at a different pace because everyone around me grew up with the company, if you will. I came into a mid-level, got promoted and elevated fast, and so I had to really work hard. So I would even work Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings just to keep up, because I was behind. I was trying to keep up with everybody else that was performing, and I was getting promoted in these roles. Well, my family took a sacrifice, and I kept saying, what I would do is, like, I would say, you know, just trust me, I'm going to get this promotion and it's going to get better. Yeah. Just trust me, I'm going to get this promotion and it's going to get better.
It was just never ending.
And it never fucking got better.
Yeah.
Like, I would get the pay raise. I remember I got the one big pay bump into, like, a higher level position. And I was like, okay, now I made it. I'm getting the stocks. Mm-hmm. I'm getting this big pay. It's going to get better. And then feedback became even more constant. Mm-hmm. And it was never positive feedback. It was negative feedback. And so you always just felt like you fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to constantly, and then, you know, corporate, they want to move you around the country. I didn't want to move. I love Florida. I hate cold weather, so I don't want to move. And so you're like, you find yourself going, I'm stressed the fuck out because I'm worried they're going to ask me to move. I'm stressed because I'm trying to earn the paycheck that they're paying me. And I'm, like, making good money. So it's like, if I don't plan my exit, like, I'm going to have some real hard times ahead. And I don't know, man. Like, I think there's a lot of people out there that are just stuck in that trap. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see it firsthand. You know, I see it every day where people are just, they're stuck in that place. They're making six-figure incomes. They have a $500,000 to $1 million house because they're trying to give their families a good life. And they feel trapped to a mortgage. They feel trapped to a paycheck. They don't know what else to do.
And, you know, and I mean, there's more that suffers. You know, your spouse, your kids, your friends, your mental state as you progress.
Which I could share countless stories about the negative aspects of all of that.
Yeah,
I lived it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's definitely something that, and I mean, this is what we want to do is we want to help people find purpose. Now, the first question that I would ask is so what do you know about purpose? Right, and this would be you or me.
Yeah.
And my initial answer would be is, if there's one thing that I can say I've learned, and particularly over the last 4 years, it's the balance, right? Mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
Now, for me, I have never stopped training. I've been training since I was 16 years old. I haven't stopped. I've always been in good shape.
Yeah.
And it's never been easy. I had to work my ass off to get into shape, but it's a constant. It's the one thing that I kept constant.
Mm-hmm.
The two other ones that took in, for me, spirituality took a big dip.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up Christian, mm-hmm. you know, went to church, listened to what they had to say, and, you know, took the whole control aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I then went, flipped over, and I went full atheism, which mm-hmm. made no sense to me because, I mean, the world's amazing places, and you cannot lay out. And then through a process, found a level of spirituality which makes me closer to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, what I found was a mindset where I abundance is all around me. So the idea of creating your own reality, right?
Yeah.
It's the concept of, regardless of your situation, you can choose actively to be happy, sad.
Yeah.
You can choose to take action, not take action. And putting your mind in a specific place where no matter what happens, you realize that abundance has nothing to do with money.
Right.
It's got to do with your situation. And I think the one that was the biggest flip for me was when someone explained to me that the past and the future don't exist.
Right.
When you dive into the past, that's depression.
Yeah.
When you're overly focused on the future, that's anxiety.
So true.
So the only place that you can focus is now. So I do everything I can in my current, right now, because nothing else exists.
Yeah, why am I going to worry about shit that's already happened? Or why am I going to worry about shit that I don't even know if it's going to happen?
Yeah.
Why not live in the moment, be present, and be fucking awesome in that moment?
Yeah. And once I let that go and kind of just be in the moment, and again, you wave,
yeah.
right? You're a human being. You go through emotions. You have good days. You have bad days.
Oh, yeah.
But you always kind of focus on the right point.
Yeah.
But it's kept me as level-headed and as balanced as I have ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And that's what I want for everyone else, is to be able to go through whatever hits you. I today, things will happen to me that if this happened 5 years ago, I probably would have committed suicide or been damn close.
Yeah.
And it happens now, and I just brush it off. And just bit, no problem. Take the next steps, and there we go.
Yeah, we could break all that down in another episode, where it comes to like moments in time happening, and you can allow it to become a triggered moment that becomes a traumatic event, or you can acknowledge that it's just a moment in time that will pass, and not give it the energy that would allow it to become that traumatic event.
Good point.
Right. So I think in purpose, like, to not get off topic, but purpose. So many men, I would say women too, but I think we're more about like helping men. You know, women, I think they have a purpose that's defined, and we talk, you know, spirituality and, you know, bigger picture, higher callings, right? Purpose, we all are looking to find it. And when you're an athlete, right? So when we are athletes, and my sport was baseball, you wrestled. Like you're always training for something, right? You're looking at whether it's the season, the next game, the next at bat, the next match. Like
there's always a goal, right?
There's always a goal that's set. Well, then when that goes away, and like, okay, in my case, I went to the military, so the military created a mission for us.
Yeah.
But when that goes away, well, now what?
What's your purpose?
What's my purpose? Like, what the fuck was I going to do with my life? And so, and my wife, man, she lived it, like, I felt like for the longest time I was a displaced baseball player.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I was meant to be a coach, but I fucking hated coaching when I did it.
Yeah.
Like, I did it for a while, but I would literally, like, I remember looking at my watch going, like, when's this game going to end?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, dude, you got to get out of coaching. This ain't for you. Mm-hmm. So, like, I love helping kids. I love helping youth. I love helping men. I love coaching people, and life matters. But when it came to, like, the sport, I was like, well, I loved the game, but it wasn't what I was really wanting to do. So then I became like, well, if coaching's not my passion, what is my purpose?
What's next?
Well, let me pursue like a career. Let me make money, because I do like money, because money gives me resources and ability. So it's like, well, then what? Like, what do I do? Where do I go? So I got into a job thinking, well, I'm going to go be a manager. And I told myself for a long time, like, I'm going to be the guy that's pursuing a career, providing for my family. That's going to be good enough. And when I did all that, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And I was still fucking miserable. You know, I was just like, well, what is my purpose? You know, and I feel I finally have identified it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this would be the time for us to go into all that, but like, you know, I think there's so many men out there in that same boat that are just lost. They're struggling. They're fucking fat.
Yeah.
They're overweight. They eat like shit. Dude, I fucking see it at the grocery store every weekend. And it's very empowering to know that, like, maybe one day I'll post an old picture of me being a fat ass, but like, I'm embarrassed to think back where I was. But like, when I see other men, I want to just fucking shake them and be like, dude, wake up.
Yeah.
Like, you're living a miserable fucking life.
And you have everything you need to take the next steps.
Yeah.
It's all in your hands.
Yeah.
Well, let's break down it. So I think the mental health crisis is a big one that we're gonna touch on, especially with men. Like, I mean, mental health is an issue regardless.
Been there too. Yeah.
But for men specifically, especially in today's world, you know, men have kind of taken the evil backseat.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're the worst of society at the moment. So and even before we were the worst.
Can I go back and make a quick point about the masculinity thing? You said something earlier that made me think of this. You know, I think men are in a really tough spot. Like, pressure as a whole is, I think, a great word to summarize our current environment in 2024, right? So if this episode's watched in years down the road. But in my opinion, right, when shit hits the fucking fan, they want a masculine man.
Oh, yeah.
They want a man that can fucking throw down.
Yeah.
They can pick up a gun and fight. They can throw my hands and fight.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been in situations, like, where literally I've had friends... I mean, I want to say it, like, liberal friends that are, like, against guns.
Yeah.
And we hear some crazy shit, and they're like, oh, well, Kevin's got a gun. Kevin's carrying. Kevin will take care of us. I'm like, some motherfucker, I'll get my wife and kids out, and I'm looking out for them. I'm not looking out for you.
Yeah.
You know, but the reality is, like, it's all peaches and cream to say, like, you know, I don't want you to be masculine. They're really pushing down men, but when shit hits the fan, like, who are you going to turn to?
That's what they want.
They want you to be weak.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we're going to touch on this more, but is the society we live in, right? And you have to dig deep and have a look at what society does.
Yeah,
is they don't want men to be strong; they want to be controlled. I've always said is the pharmaceutical companies in America, their goal is to have fat, controlled, easy to use people, healthy enough to work, sick enough to keep paying.
Yeah,
right. And when you break those paradigms, I mean, we've spoken it. I mean, the carnivore diet, and as much as I'm not an advocate to tell anybody that they should follow it, right? It's a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
I will sit with someone and say, listen, you know, when I followed this diet, this is what happened. This is what didn't happen. Yeah. I didn't get scurvy.
Yeah.
I didn't get sick. All that happened is I all of a sudden found a new level of testosterone in my system. I feel better. My skin looks better.
Yeah.
I have energy like I've never had in my life before, because all I've done is cut out all of this crap.
Oh,
I mean,
shit.
I for the last, I'd say probably good 6-7 years, all we've eaten is organic, as clean as possible.
Yeah.
And the most disturbing thing is of how expensive it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy expensive it is.
First thing you hear most people say about eating healthy is, oh, it's too expensive. Yeah. I can't do that.
So and they're not wrong.
I got a fucking McDonald's.
Yeah, and it's not wrong. I mean, RFK is mentioning it now with the Make America Healthy Again, right?
Yeah.
Is, you know, if I'm on food stamps, I have food stamps, I can go buy pop.
All the cheap.
Pop-Tarts. I can buy everything that you shouldn't eat is what that covers. It should cover nothing but whole, healthy food.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's absolutely disturbing. And the most disturbing part of it is, and me and my wife have this argument, like, we haven't had McDonald's probably in 15 years.
Yeah, it's pretty gross, right? To be honest with you.
It's not, though.
I mean,
it's gross now because we know what it's made of. But kind of when you have it, like, it's my buddy. It's freaking.
It
delicious.
Does taste good. That's
it's true. Delicious.
Yeah.
It and then you have it, and you want to, you know, you kind of want any like time. You feel like shit afterwards. But I can take like 10
so
of those.
So do you think the photo op with RFK and Trump and all them and having McDonald's? Do you think RFK actually ate the cheeseburger?
Honestly, here's what I'd take on it. Right. I think he's balanced.
I think so.
So I think he's smart enough to say, listen, we don't want to take away your options. We just want you to know what they are. It's the same as vaccines.
Making good choices and having control of your food.
We want you to know what you're putting into your body, because they're not telling you. They're not being honest. So I think it's the same as us, right? So, you know, eat clean for 80%, that 20% heaven. You're going to touch some processed food. Try and control what you do, but to the largest degree.
Knowing how we train, you know, like Saturday night we went to a little Christmas get together. They had cookies and desserts and stuff, and I had 2 cookies. But I know, because I fucking did 500 squats before I went, I worked for those fucking cookies and earned them, right? So, like, I know that we're training hard, and, like, overall, I would argue even 90% of the time we make good, like, food choices so that we're not putting shit in our bodies.
Dude, I've gotten super bored. I even make good food choices when I eat cheat meals, was going kind of bad.
Yeah, right? I know, it's true. Like, dude, yesterday, actually, because we didn't really have a true cheat meal this past weekend, and yesterday I went and picked up some, like, lean, like, organic ground beef and made some like burgers with some fries. That was my cheat meal. I made it at home. Didn't even put cheese on it.
That's organic fries, no cheese. Really super good.
So it was the same. It was good, and it filled me up for the meal. And then 2 hours later, I was ready to eat again.
And then you got to go, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to touch on that, and we're going to run through. And I think for me, the lack of purpose and trying to find those balances are paramount for everybody. You know, body is a big thing. I mean, we've touched on how often we train. So just in background is I've been in the gym since I was 16. You know, it's pushing on a 30 years now that I've consistently been training. I have done everything from strongman to powerlifting to pro wrestling. You name the sport. If it required something that I had to pick something up and put it down, or kind of work my ass off to get to a certain level, I've done it. And what I never ceases to amaze me is when I find people with a similar mindset, even if they've never been in the same level as gym, or in the weight room as I have, right? In which case, your case is a good one, right? Yeah. So you were a ball player. You had a very specific way of training. Back when you were playing ball, it wasn't really a thing to do strength and conditioning in a gym. It was something.
It was just starting.
You did it on the field, right? That's
no,
how it
we
was.
Did it. We did weight training. We had actually a really good strength coach. He passed away, God rest his soul, Coach Riley. He was a football player. I mean, we had a great strength and training program back in, it was like 2000 to 2004 with Middle Tennessee State, where I played ball. But they were very cautious with us. Right? Like nowadays, like it's completely different. But back then, it was like no injuries. They wouldn't let you bench press.
Yeah,
they wouldn't let
you do things that
caused you to get tight. You know, we would do a lot of stuff on the field, but like our strength and training workouts were all about explosive work. It was all about cross training type stuff. It was good, but it wasn't like what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, and as I've gotten older, and again, injuries rack up, your ability to do certain things change.
Yep.
But the one thing is, you can change your workout routine to match anything you do. I mean, so what we do is we have a training group that runs on Saturdays, and we have an open invitation. I don't care who you are. I don't care how, if you've trained before or haven't trained before. I don't care what level you are.
Let's go.
And it doesn't change the way we work out.
Nope. Not at all.
Right?
So we get after it.
Yeah. Everybody comes in, does their thing.
But I don't think we judge anybody.
No.
You know?
That's the thing is,
we welcome everyone to a good environment.
I'd walk that back. I judge people who don't try.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. Like, I'd love to sit here, you know, and live in consciousness and say, you know what, I don't judge anybody. But that'd be an absolute lie. It's the reason that I never did personal training.
Yeah.
Is I cannot stand people who aren't willing to try.
Your line is always, go till you can't, rest till you can.
Yeah.
And as long as you're given everything you got,
just push it.
Just do what you can, right? Just push and that's, I mean, I think it's hard for anybody. And we've had, you know, folks join us that have never trained.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It's a little hard for them. But I think if you come to us and just realize, like, we just want you to be here, we just want you to come in and get better.
Yeah. I just want someone to take and do the best. And listen, in the biggest schemes, there's nothing as fun as watching you. It's been 6 months now with us. There's nothing that I enjoy more than when you walk in on that one day on that one exercise and you do more than I do.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, here we go.
Like, what was that, 2 weeks ago on shoulders? I did a set and you're like, all right.
Let's
so,
do it.
Yeah, and it does motivate me too to try to catch you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and for me, it's...
It's because we're competitors.
That's it. You always will be. Right,
but we also supportive. Cheer for each other.
Yeah, yeah, I want you to be the best. Yeah. If that means it's more than me, give me something to chase.
Yeah,
it's what we want to narrow it down to. And I think from a lining is for me personally, I think you're seeing that now. Is there is a spiritual aspect to going into the gym and lifting weights. I think a lot of people just kind of see it as, or used to see it as something that just, you know, meatheads go in, we pick up weight, we put it down. But when you're really into it on those levels, you push yourself to certain places.
Oh, for sure.
It's a level of meditation and just...
It's therapeutic,
it's
man.
It's super therapeutic.
Like, I mean, Sam and I were joking, Sam's my wife. Saturday, we were hearing a guy in there that was like, he was kind of getting pissed at the weights. Like, he's like screaming at the dumbbells after he finished it. I was like, she kind of like looked at him. I was like, hey, he's probably working something out, whatever, you know? And but the whole idea is, like, you know, we go through hard things in life in general, and so when you go train, that gives you so much mental clarity from pushing through that. Like, I remember When we met, I was training. I was about a year into like my fitness journey of like coming back around, and then like getting with you became elevating because now I had someone with very similar mindset that was further ahead than I wanted to be that I knew was going to be a good match because I like hard training like that.
Yeah.
It gives me like, for the longest time, I took a lot of pride in being able to do something that other people can't do.
Yep.
And I lost that for a good decade of my life. And so it gave me I lost an edge. I lost my competitive aspect of things. So now going back into the gym, I'm competing against me.
Yeah.
Like I'm going in there to say like deadlifts that 1 week, like where, you know, I beat myself the week before,
yeah.
You know, and you were giving me hell because there was a skinny kid right next to me lifting up more plates than me. And I was like, fuck that kid. He's younger than me. But like at the same time, I tried to pull the weight, you know? And I think the reality is so many men are missing how just simply going in and moving some heavy weight around, how therapeutic it is. Like I miss when I don't, if I take a day off, like I legit need the day off, but I'm like, fuck, I really want to go move some weights around, you know?
I don't know who said this quote, and I'll find out and give them props later, but 200 pounds will always be 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Won't change, doesn't get angry,
yeah.
Doesn't leave you,
yeah.
doesn't fight against you.
Yeah.
It's always going to be 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, the gym is the most forgiving and most unforgiving place in the world, but it never, ever, ever changes.
Yeah.
It's what makes you, it kind of, you can, and the beauty of it is they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And how hard you train, whether it be a Metro Flex, you know, I'm the type of guy is, I get to the gym and I forget my headphones.
Mm.
I'm training.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget anything. I'm training because there's no excuse. All you need is your body.
That's right.
Just walk in there, get shit done.
I mean, to be honest,
feel better.
I don't think we've done a workout together where we have had headphones on.
No.
Anyway, for what that's worth,
absolutely. Like, we don't. It's just go in there and fucking.
We just we get after it, man. Like, and we what I've found is those that join us and not like again, and we want people to come, but like those that join us realize like we don't really stop. Like no. We just go right after it, like, you know, this past weekend, 500 squats just to start the workout.
Yeah.
You know, we just keep going, and it's all about, it's just doing something hard, and it mentally catapults you, because when the real shit hits in life, like, you know some of my mess, but like, I'm not a quitter.
No.
But I know if I go to that gym and I get after it, I don't quit the workouts ever.
No.
Like, I always, like, I don't even think about where the end's at.
No.
I don't even think, I'm just like, whatever.
What are we doing and how long, let's just go.
I don't know what time it is. Half the time I finish the workout, I would say more than half the time, almost every time, I finish the workout, I'm like, holy shit, that took us 2 hours or whatever, however, maybe not 2 hours, but like, it took
legs,
us.
Legs would be 2 hours.
It feels like it, yeah. But it's like, I don't even think of the time. I don't pay attention to the time because it's just, I enjoy it.
You get to just switch off.
Yeah. But I was never like that. And I think, and this is a topic, sorry to cut you off there, but like the athletes and the military guys out there, they have a tendency, because I did this, you associate working out with a punishment. Because when you're in sports, if you fucked up, you did something wrong. One of the worst workouts I can ever remember was we had to do it at 5 o'clock in the morning on a football field after a horrible loss. And I think it was like, this was old school, but like 2 hours of just nonstop sprints and like push-ups and sit-ups and just got fucking crushed because of a bad day. And then in the military, like if you messed around, you got in trouble, you got whatever, they would make you do workouts a lot of times. Like you just do push-ups till you can't do them or do something. So you just like in your brain made it a punishment. And so I think a lot of athletes and veterans have a tendency to do that. They get out of shape, and they lose that sight, I guess.
I would agree in one sense. Absolutely, there's a punishment aspect to it, and I think it's the old school version of training which needs to disappear because it's you against you. Right?
Yeah.
Competition is always healthy. It's good to see someone else. I mean, you're in the gym competing against you.
Yeah.
However, it helps to see elevated people do things.
But you push each other that way.
Right, and you push that way. So I've been lucky in my life, whether it's when I did Strongman and I was surrounded by these absolute monsters who did things that I can't even do it today, but it gave me something to chase, right? Yeah. And every time you see that elevation and how people elevate themselves, right, and realize that, it's the mindset change of going from punishment to It's you're acquiring something. Mm. You're gaining something by doing it. It's not a punishment, mm-hmm. right? There's no such thing as punishment. The world happens to you.
Right.
Or for you, not to you. It's right. Nothing happens to you. It happens for you. No matter how bad it seems,
right.
There's a positive lesson that it's going to instill in you. And training is a good baseline because, as you say, is people associated with punishment.
Yeah.
For the longest time, you know, you'd have someone who, you put him on a diet, you say, okay, I need you to eat clean for the week. On a Friday, you're going to have a cheat meal, have yourself some high calorie foods, you know, choose whatever you want, sugar, yeah. go nuts,
yeah.
right? You've got 2 hours to eat it. And people will work the week to deserve that cheat meal.
Yeah.
And I've changed the name. It's not a cheat meal, it's a refeed.
Refeed, yeah.
Right? It's a way like to just put more calories into your system because there's no such thing as a diet.
Well, back over the summer, like I remember a couple of times I'd come in on a Monday workout and I remember one time, like I was just like, dude, I am fucking drained. Like, what is going on? And you're like, what'd you do for your cheat or your refeed?
Yeah.
And I was like, good for my refeed, you know? And you're like, no, dude, like get the calories in. Yeah. Like you're missing the whole point of this. And I was like, oh, so like afterwards, like go get a double cheeseburger. Because I wasn't eating burgers. Yeah. That's what it was. I would eat like a steak with some mashed potatoes yeah. and a salad. That was my refeed, right? But I wasn't getting the calories that I needed on that refeed.
Yeah.
So you're like, no, go get the double cheeseburger, the biggest thing you can find with the bacon, the pound of French fries. I'm yep. like, okay, so I go do that best fucking burger I ever had in my life.
You feel
but amazing. I felt it, right? And yeah. so now understanding like that it's a refeed, and if you're strong and you're tight all week long, I mean like all the cans of tuna I got over there, like just yeah. being strict, like if I'm in a pinch, grab a can of tuna.
Yeah.
Just if I'm in a hurry, grab a can of tuna.
And like you're going to get to a point on a calorie deficit, or even if you're slightly under, at some point your body needs some calories, you got to put yep. it in. Insulin resistance is a thing, man. You know, as much as I think carnivore diet is a very good way to go, especially for O blood type.
Yeah.
The other aspect of that is you have insulin in your body and it's there for a reason. So I think it's very important to add carbohydrates in and some simple sugars so that you spike your insulin levels and you don't lose yeah. Use or lose it rule.
Which this is a good point, a good time for me to interject on my fitness background a yeah. little bit, because I don't know shit, to be honest with you. I mean, I do, you but do. Like, it's me joking. I love fitness. I love nutrition to a point. But when it comes to like the science, that's why I love our podcast name, because like when it comes to like the technical stuff, like I don't know. My wife Sam, she's amazing, but she's been always been my brain when it comes to health and wellness. I would look at her and it's like, should I eat this? Should I not? Should I take this? Should I not? And so she's always been she's you know super educated when it mm-hmm. comes to health and wellness, and she's got a degree in nutrition and dietetic science. So I never really showed interest in it like that, but I've always loved fitness,
yeah.
and I've always loved to work out. So it kind of killed me. But I tried to keep jobs that made me stay in shape.
Yep.
So when I got away from that and I got out of shape, it fucking killed me. Like, yep. I hated what I saw in the mirror because I would literally ask my friends. I had a couple of friends that always stayed in shape. And I was like, I would give them my schedule. And I'd be like, when should I work out? And even they would say, like, dude, I don't know. That's kind of tough, right? Because I was, you know, like, yep. sleeping 4 to 5 hours a night anyways, trying to be a dad, trying to be a husband, yep. trying to work out. And so I think there's so many people out there. And so when it comes to, like, I think people should know, like, my background with it is, like, I'm going to come at you from a real raw perspective
yeah.
where I don't know the technical. You know the technical. My wife knows the technical. There's a lot of people out there. But what I like to do is take a common sense approach to things.
Yes.
What makes fucking sense?
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, you talk about carnivore. I like carnivore because it's easy.
Yeah.
It's convenient.
Super convenient.
But I will say, my body does better when I have greens.
Yeah.
So personally, like, I like greens in my diet because it does help me. So I like green beans. I like asparagus. I like broccoli.
And that's the
important thing, right? You know, like salad or greens, but it helps me like with just like feeling better as a whole.
Because it's not just physical. You see, right. this is the people. There are so many fitness influencers,
yep.
and people tell you now how everyone, and as if you follow our podcast, you need to understand that it's great if you have a trainer. Mm-hmm. Right? Trainers are awesome. They could give you insight. I've used trainers before because yeah. they'll give me an insight of a method yeah. that I might not know.
Yeah.
Right. And without, you know, speaking from a discipline standpoint, is if you have a goal set, It is, to a point, easier to do it when someone else is guiding you, especially if you're doing calorie deficits. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a bodybuilding competition.
Yeah.
There's a certain point where you become stupider.
Yeah.
Because you're just dropping your calories so low. And yeah. You literally walk around like a zombie. So having someone go do A, B, and C makes things easier. Yeah. But on the general level, right, your body is your body.
Yeah.
You know what works for you. And yeah. I mean, we did this when you spoke. And I said to you, listen, this is the guideline. Yeah. However, figure out what works for you. The best way to do that is what they call an elimination diet.
Right.
So I eat all of this, all of these things. Okay. Eliminate it down to your base essential amino acids.
Yeah.
Meat. It is the one thing that you will die if you don't have.
Yeah.
Baseline essential amino acids. Not processed.
Yeah.
Not Beyond Burgers. None of that crap. Meat.
Yeah.
Right. I don't care if it's fish, chicken, turkey, wild game, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Once you get that baseline is, you can not only survive, but you can thrive on meat. However,
yeah,
you are also a human being who lives in a modern world.
Yeah.
You have kids, you have a wife.
Yeah.
You have cravings, you have things that you like and things you don't like. You have an entire life behind you of things that you enjoy.
Right.
So then what you do is, once you've eliminated, you start adding back in.
Right.
Small things. But take note when you do.
Right.
If you need to write it down, or just take note of how you feel and see, how does this work for me?
Yeah.
Right. If it works for you, put it aside, say good.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you have inflammation in your gut.
Yeah.
Right. Because the only way you realize this is when you eliminate.
Yeah.
Right. I recently did a three day fast. Now, I try and avoid fasting because I want to train.
Right.
If I fast, I cannot train. It just doesn't work, right?
It's hard to train, especially and the way we train.
That's it. So now I decided to do a 3 day fast. Not because I needed to, not because I was stuck, because I felt like I needed to kind of see where my body is.
Mm.
And those 3 days that you go, the first day, it's just water.
Yeah. Right?
Eliminate everything else, you just drink water. Day two, you don't take solid food, but you'll add in bone broth, mainly to make sure you get enough minerals in so that your body doesn't, your muscles don't start cramping up and you keep yourself as healthy as possible. And I can tell you, the biggest baseline that I found is most people do not understand what hunger is. We have a misconception of hunger. And there's a million guys out there telling you how they got somewhere, or they read it out of a book, or they studied it, and they're going to tell you this is the only way. There's a million guys online that'll tell you carnivore is the only way. It's not. There's a million guys that'll tell you veganism is the only way.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope.
Is you have to find something for yourself. Don't cut out anyone else. Right.
Yeah.
If there's someone out there and you're a vegan and it works for you, I struggle to understand the concept of how it does.
Same.
From a scientific standpoint. Yeah. Not from the fact that you eat plants. It's from a scientific standpoint is, in order to be a vegan, you can eat ultra-processed foods.
Yeah.
These foods, by the definition that they're processed, are not good for you. And they load them with chemicals to try and make them taste like the very thing you're against.
I just think men, like for men specifically, I can't speak to women, but like men need protein. And like
women need more protein.
Oh, I'm sure they do, yeah.
It's even more important for women to have protein.
I'm sure it is. But like to me, like it just makes sense. Like we're bigger in general, right? So why wouldn't you want actual meat, the protein that helps you build and be strong and be fueled?
I get the moral stance, man. Like listen, I've hunted and I will still continue to hunt. I think it's one of the base fundamentals that everyone should understand.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you eat meat, I've always said this and I'll stick by it. If you eat meat, you need to understand what the process was to that meat.
For sure.
Which is where I say that any young man should go hunting with his dad.
Dude, I mean, just telling you the squirrel situation.
Yeah.
Like I had the squirrel stuck in my fireplace and we tried to get it out and like the animal died. Like I had my son with me, my son's six, and like we did try to get this thing out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a squirrel, so we were afraid it was going to take off through the house and it was a Christmas vacation moment. But, like, we literally tried to get this poor guy out. We could hear him, and, like, we heard his last, like, squeals, unfortunately. Yeah. And my heart went to the guy, right?
Of course. Like,
it's an animal. And if you respect these animals when you hunt, and, like you... You know, there's some that, you know, especially the faith-based people, like they'll even say a prayer over the animal.
I think it's super important to say thank you for the sacrifice, right?
100%.
But we
no animal should go to waste. That's how my dad taught me, right?
Yeah,
if you take that animal's life, it's to go in your belly. You know,
it's 100% a fundamental. And I think where I disconnect with vegans, and we're gonna have some vegans. And I want to hear their point.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it's not the concept of what you're doing. The two things I've always said is the concept of having a world without guns sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing.
Doesn't
the concept sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Yes. You know what? If you could take guns away from everybody,
yeah,
right, we'd just be a society of
knives.
They'll
find another weapon.
It'll be knives, right? Yeah. It'll be swords. It'll criminals be what it was before we had criminals. Guns.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a criminal has access to one, even if the government has access to one, you should have access to one.
I mean, just really simple argument around that to me should shut most everybody off is that criminals are always going to be criminals. And if you take guns from people that are law-abiding citizens, you now take their ability away to defend themselves in a criminal situation.
And I think when it comes to the concept of violence, this is where masculinity needs to come in, right? Yeah. I mean, Joe Rogan speaks on his show about a warrior and a god, and so does Jordan Peterson, right? And the concept is you need to always be ready for violence and know how to apply it,
for sure,
but hope you never do.
Yeah.
And what I honestly find a lot of times is the misunderstanding of that masculine aspect. Now, by all accounts, is, again, there is a scientific approach to veganism that I look at and I struggle to get the concept, but on the baseline, you don't want to hurt animals. You've made a conscious decision.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Yeah. Right. You do you.
No doubt.
It's the point where you start telling me that I cannot do these fundamental things, which are part of baseline. It's part of who we are as a culture, as human beings. You cannot survive without me.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
As much as, you know.
Well, if all the stores went away, right, if there was no mass producing of food, if you go back to the early days of the discovery of this country, right, like how did they survive? They went and fucking hunted and killed an animal.
They had to.
That's what they did. They didn't have the ability to do anything else. They had to kill an animal. So if you just know those basic skills, like my wife has actually made a post about this years ago. If something went down and some shit happened where all of a sudden we don't have food at the grocery store, she knows that I know how to hunt and I can actually go harvest an animal.
100%.
You know?
And on top of that is I've never seen a picture, a cave painting of a salad, buddy.
So yeah, but...
Let's just be honest.
Mean, I don't really want to eat a leaf off a tree, so I'm going to go get an animal.
No, and if I keep trying to make it taste like meat, there's a problem.
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to make my steak taste like grass, so...
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that episode when we talk about veganism.
I really want you... I'm hoping we get someone on, and I think we've got a couple of people.
We do. Mind, we have some options, yeah.
Like, really explain to me the process, especially people who are still... You know, looking after themselves are fit.
For sure.
How do you, how, what are you doing? Like, what is your process? Is it chickpea protein? Because, you know, one thing that I always go to, and
but I would like for us to find a guest. Like, I think there's a couple options. Like, I know there's a local restaurant that we can bring that person on, but I want to find somebody that's like jacked, that's really plant based.
You see, also, I want to, but how do I know they just eat plants?
Because we don't.
Honestly, man, if I'd said I was a vegan, I'd be sneaking a steak in the evening.
Oh, yeah, for
honestly,
sure.
Honestly, because scientifically, from a science aspect, it's a very difficult concept to kind of...
I tried it for like 2 or 3 days one time, like years ago. I watched
2 days?
Yeah, I didn't last. I didn't do very well.
I'd rather fast for 5 days.
I mean, and the food tastes good. Like, I've had it, but if you ask me, like, if you're making everything like it's a, quote, like meat product... But it's a black bean burger. Well, why would you just eat a burger?
Just black beans.
Right.
Just eat black beans on their own.
Or just eat a burger with black beans on the side. Yeah. Like,
or as my wife says, so you know, God bless my wife, Helene, she's amazing, but super well educated, right? Master level in nutrition and training.
Yeah.
Like she will take us for a session, she'll kick ass.
Yeah.
Right. As much as she can't train that way herself because of health issues that she's dealing with, but she will kick your ass in the gym. And she turns around. All she does, like, you just go grab a Beyond Burger. Mm. Right. Do yourself a favor. Turn that sucker around and tell me how many of those ingredients you can pronounce.
None of them.
Right. Pretty much none of them.
Yeah.
So it is super chemical, super processed, just to try and make you convinced to taste that meat. That already in itself... puts me on the back foot.
It
makes me feel super uncomfortable with the whole
thing. When you buy organic stuff and the meat proteins things that we buy, like, you know, like for example, like our kids like peanut butter sandwiches, right? So we get peanut butter with the ingredients peanuts and salt. That's it. Literally peanuts.
Because you're choosing the best, but
right.
But here's a good one for you. So what we're going to do on this podcast is we're going to ask a couple of questions. We don't know the answers to everything, as everyone would know, but we're going to hop on this, and when we want an answer, our go-to is going to be Elon Musk's AI system, Grok.
Mm.
I've been using it for a while now. It is one of the best. It'll search the internet for you. It'll give you a baseline answer, right? And just a simple one. So we're talking in difference, right? I'm typing in difference between plant protein and animal protein on absorption. Right. So this was something I searched a while ago, and the findings were pretty high. Right. So the first thing that comes up is digestibility, right? So animal protein generally have a high digestibility, which means the minute you eat it, it breaks up pretty easily because it's amino acids, right? Very complex amino acids. Plant proteins can be less digestible, some more than others, right? However, when you break up the amount of protein you get between animal protein and plant protein, there was this argument a while ago. You can get the same amount of protein out of broccoli.
Yeah.
Right. Right. As you can get out of steak.
Protein out of broccoli.
Yeah, you can. Right. But here's it. Right. So I'm going to type this in. But this was a vegan's argument to me.
Yeah.
Right. You're eating steak, but you know what? As a bodybuilder, you can get the same amount of protein out of less broccoli. Okay. So I want to eat, in the average meal that we eat with a piece of steak, we get about 50 grams of protein.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm asking the question here.
That's our net, right? You're saying that's our net.
Yeah, that's protein, right? So not the amount that we eat. So
we're not eating 50 grams of protein. We're net after we eat it, digest it.
Yeah. So this is a concept on macros that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah. Right? That's the part where you start to lose me.
Yeah. So let's break it down. So macros works into three categories.
Yeah.
Right. It's your calorie breakdown. So your macros is protein, fat, carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when you break those up, the amount of protein in a steak is not not directly equivalent to the weight of the steak.
Mm-hmm.
So, if a steak weighs 16 ounces,
yep.
it doesn't mean it has 16 ounces of protein. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The protein content of that is a lower amount, and you can see these for each one. So, when I say how much protein do you get in, and the average amount of protein you're supposed to get in if you're training,
your body weight, right?
Is generally the body weight's a good example. However, it depends. Your body does really well with excessive amounts of protein. There's recent studies that actually show that you can eat insane amounts of protein.
Mm.
Like you can eat 15,000 calories worth of protein, and it has zero negative effects on your body.
Yeah, which I feel I've experienced that firsthand. Right.
The knock-on effect of that is as you age, your protein synthesis becomes less relative. So you should still get protein in, you still have a high protein level, but you require more protein packing on muscle when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, that protein level drops. So the general rule of thumb is anywhere between 1 to 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight, depending on what your goals are.
Yeah.
Right? However, you can go down as low as 0.5 to 0.7 after the age of 35 and still get the same results.
Mm.
So protein, that's how, the point I'm making is that's how good protein is. Excessive amounts have almost zero effect on your body. Kidneys, the whole thing about too much protein ruins your kidneys has been completely debunked.
Yeah.
Right? In the flip side, you can take a really small amount of protein, your body so efficiently absorbs it that you don't need the same amounts.
Yeah.
So let's go on the broccoli arguments. How many ounces of broccoli do I need to eat to get 50 grams of protein?
I had no idea you could get protein out of broccoli.
Almost everything has protein in a sense, right? So now here it is. So broccoli has approximately 2.8 grams of protein per 100 grams. 3.5 ounces.
That's a lot of fucking broccoli.
Right. Yeah. Now this is where it comes in. So, in order for me to get 50 grams of protein, I have to eat 1,785 grams of broccoli. Now, to put that in, that's 1.7 kilograms or...
That's 2 pounds of fucking
almost
broccoli.
Almost 4 pounds.
4 pounds.
4 pounds of broccoli. So... In order for you, for me, right? I'm sitting around 250, right? So at 250, if I'm gonna do my grammage according to body weight, I have to get 250 grams. So all I've got to do is eat about 20 pounds of broccoli, and I'll get it in.
You'll be good.
And that's where the problem comes.
That's fucking gross.
Right? It's trying to put the and then there's the second part is the type of protein that broccoli has.
Yeah.
Right. Protein chains are all different. It's an amino acid. Amino acids are chains, and some are easier to absorb, some are not. Right. Whey protein, which everyone uses for weight gain, is not a very good protein.
Yeah.
Right. Pure meat protein, best you're gonna get. Best you're gonna get is buffalo wild game. As these break down, right, the protein synthesis within the type of protein broccoli has is terrible. So even though I'm eating 50 grams, right, I've eaten my 4 pounds of broccoli.
But to put it in perspective, that's like 4 plates piled high of broccoli.
Yeah.
Versus
one meal.
One plate. Yeah, one meal. One meal versus one plate of protein and meat. Like if you eat steak.
And to get the same amount of protein, you'd probably need about, I'd say probably just under a pound of beef.
Yeah. But that's because I ate that way, right? With with the steak, I would eat a pound of beef or steak, right? It was my meal. So one plate of steak, basically, versus four plates of broccoli.
Exactly.
Is basically what you have to do.
That's exactly
I could not eat that much broccoli.
No one can. Yeah. That's why vegans are all skinny.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a muscular vegan yet. I haven't. Yeah. I've seen guys. There's a guy who does the strongman.
Yeah.
He claims to be vegan. I 100% he's lying. There's no way.
Yeah.
Right. You cannot maintain that.
There's
certain things we're going to go over in this, right, from my history in dealing with all these strength sports. You know, where, you know, bullshit is high in industry because people want people to kind of think a certain way of them. You know, it's like, is The Rock on steroids? Yes, he's on TRT. He should be. Right. Yeah. I am. You
Most
are.
Every man
You're over 35. You should be on TRT. 100%. Right? But TRT is steroids. Know which way you put it around. Right?
Yeah.
So we're gonna hop into these. I think right now, Kev, so Metroflex.
Yeah.
Right. Let's go back to them. We want to give them a bit of a shout out. Tell me about how you feel about Metroflex and what your experience is.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier with some of the gyms in the area, the community. There's a lot of good gyms, right?
Yeah.
But Metro, to me, it's just an environment that is a bunch of serious people that are all kind and respectful to each other. I'm sure they have situations that aren't like that, but like for the most part, everyone's in there. It's a community. They support each other, spot each other randomly. Like if you need a spot, like we always are there for each other. But like I've seen other people helping others.
Yeah.
I also like just the reality of like you have a place where like people, men, women can go, and essentially it's open 24/7, but like there's a camaraderie feeling to that place. And like you're there, like you just like nobody wants you to fail in there.
No.
And you see, like there's a couple good, really good trainers. Like you're talking about
trainers.
There's one guy specifically. I'll shout him out. His name's Paul. Dude's posting all over Instagram all his clients, and he's got a lot of older clientele that come in there, and he does an amazing job with them. And I've watched a lot of the stuff that he does. He's very supportive, you know. And you've seen him. We've brought our kids in on the weekends sometimes. Like
loves it.
Like loved it, right? He took a picture of us like curling while the kids were in the background watching us do it. And like even, you know, I like my kids are like, we push fitness on them already because our non-negotiables with our kids is you're going to learn how to fight, you're going to learn how to defend yourself, and you're going to learn health and wellness, right? That's a priority. It's a must. So they're watching us, they're seeing us do it. But like for me, Metro, and they don't have like daycare or anything like that, so it's not like we don't bring our kids in there all the time, but it's just a good environment. It's a community of people that all are just striving for a goal of some kind. You know, I don't necessarily have a goal around fitness. For me, it's more of a journey, but
it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle, and I feel there's a lot of people like that there. You know,
I think more people are going in. I know for me personally, like what Metro, when I walk in, when you walk into the main gym, is first of all this. You got all the classic, but you got Ronnie Coleman on the wall. There's all sorts of
bodybuilders. I love the pictures that he put up.
Great, right? Yeah. And then you walk into the main gym and he's got the videos playing of Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah,
and
man.
It rotates. And then it's Lee Priest. And I mean, that was my era. You know, 90s, 2000s. Yeah. Oh my God, that's my
Jake
era.
Jake Cutler stuff's up there.
Yeah, right? So they're training all the time. So you have that constant feeling, right?
And dude, like when you're throwing up some kind of heavy weight and you look up at the TV and it's Ronnie Coleman or some great, like throwing up way more weight than you could ever possibly imagine, you're like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just motivating.
It's super motivating.
Yeah.
And Matt is an amazing, I mean, he's the owner of the gym. He's from Texas. He bought everything down, right? And he's the nicest guy.
For sure.
Willing to, you know, kind of help anybody who walks in. He's got a lot of kids.
Dude,
in
I see so many videos of him spotting people,
man,
like just random videos of people.
He's such
spots.
A good trainer.
Yeah,
he's such a good trainer.
Yep.
He's a fantastic at what he does.
Yeah, for sure.
So you know, Metroflex is our sponsor. I don't really see us. Listen, we're going to train at every other gym.
Yeah,
but Metroflex is
that's
home.
Our home.
That's our home.
That's our home base.
Always keep our home base there.
For sure.
We're gonna when we bring clients, and especially if it's people in the fitness industry or someone that you know that kind of works out. Before we do this podcast, we're going to go have a workout.
I'm excited for that.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Now come in, have a good workout. We're going to film it. We're going to come sit and have a good discussion about it.
This is, this first episode has been so much fun. Like, I see such a vision with this. Like, and we've talked about a lot about this. Like, this has been a journey for you and I just coming together to do this. And, like, I know we both have a big vision for where we want to take this. And the community we want to build, and I'm just really, really
you said the word
future.
There, brother. Community
yeah.
is men. I remember being younger, and I remember always having community. Now, everywhere I go, I try and create a community of people around training.
Yeah.
Trying to help people just as much, right? Like, say, and it's usually a slow process because you go into a place, you know, not everybody is in the same. Kevin's not walking around everywhere, so right. I don't always find people I can connect with.
Right.
A lot of men are very closed off. You know, we have an ego, same. So we kind of, you know, we're worried, can I trust this person? It used to be in a gym. You go in, you almost never train without a partner.
Right. Like
you always have someone you can train with. And I mean, you can train alone, you can train with a partner, you can get results either way. But I think having a community of people like-minded,
definitely,
especially starting with health and fitness,
yep.
branching out from health and fitness into spirituality, mindset, business, entrepreneurship, how to build money, how to build wealth, how to look after your relationships, how to take care of your family, not just in the traditional sense, but in the holistic sense.
Which to me, like, one of the things I had to learn the hard way was, you know, and you know, faith for me is important. Like,
yes.
you know, faith's a big thing, a part of my life. But to me, the number one priority is faith and fitness together.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I'm not, like, and that's spirituality, but like for me, like fitness being at the top, the health and well-being, if I can't be on my game and I'm not the best, I have three small kids, I have a wife with high energy, and we're on the go constantly, plus businesses.
Yep.
And if I'm not at my best mentally and physically, then I can't give them my best, right? And if I don't love myself, how could I love someone else, right? And I've learned that this over the past year, where I've had this conversation with my wife, is like, how could I properly love you when I don't even love what I see in the mirror?
That's it.
And for the first time in a long time, I actually like the guy I see in the mirror. I actually love the guy that I see in the mirror. And we're gonna break all this down, but like, that's what this is about. Like, it's going back in time and helping the younger versions of ourselves close the gap sooner. Because you and I both know, like, if we would have had somebody like us in our lives a lot sooner, we would have closed a lot of gaps. Yeah. It would have changed a lot of things for us. It made a lot of things easier to handle and manage and go through.
That is true. That is true.
You know?
So I think we're going to do a whole bunch of these.
Yeah.
I think our first couple of episodes.
We're just getting started, man.
We're going to break down, brother. We're going to break down. We're going to climb into spirituality. We're going to climb into body. We're gonna make the difficult things that seem overwhelming. And we're going to break it down from experience. We're going to break it down. We're going to bring in experts.
Nice.
We're going to show people how to break these things down, how to look at it.
Didn't you say we're going to get Ronnie Coleman on here?
Yeah, so...
Am I saying that too soon? Is that premature?
No.
Do we need to cut that out?
No, I don't think we're going to cut it out. So, here's the beauty of when you... What we found, right, is you join communities. This is one thing that men are really bad with, right?
Yeah.
We can do everything ourselves.
Yeah.
So, we're very... stubborn when we want to ask for help.
Yep.
We're very stubborn to create communities.
Yeah.
We're super stubborn in speaking to other men. I mean, I remember, quick story. So I remember training in a gym in Canada, right? And in the gym, this was just when COVID hit in, gyms closed off and they opened up again. And there was a guy training in the gym, right? Now, we stayed in Niagara Falls in Canada for about three and a half years.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm training in the gym, and this guy in this gym, he's in fantastic shape.
Mm.
Nice, like really good shape, right? Kind of sees you, but really doesn't, never really talks to you, kind of standoffish, you know, he does his thing, does his thing, never really competing, but acknowledge that he's there, he looks great, you know, he kind of acknowledges you, but you never really connect.
Yeah.
Right? And we go through this entire process, and I meet this wonderful guy called Mark, who kind of had, he created his own communities, very smart guy, and he came to me the one day, and he kind of broke the ice. He's like, can I train with you? I'm like, absolutely, because according to him, he had already kind of established the group, and I was this guy that came in. And they thought they called me the Russian soldier. So they thought they had created an entire world.
I never thought about you like a Russian. I guess I can see
haircuts. He goes, no, I must be Russian or something, and you know, maybe special forces or military, and they just didn't know how to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
And also the intimidation of coming to speak to someone, because No, without trying to do that, when I go into the gym, I'm super focused on what I'm doing. I'm trying to cut everyone else.
Yeah, you're intense. You can look intense.
Right, and I can go in. So I can see there's a bit of thing. But once you get to know you realize that, you know, we're all pretty much the same people, right? Very approachable, very easy to talk to.
Nope.
And lo and behold, through this entire process, I meet Mark, the same guy that I was watching for probably 2 years.
Yeah.
And he starts training with us. And initially when he starts training, it's kind of a competition because he's a big guy. This guy looks like he should get on stage every day.
Wow.
He's fantastic. He's probably got one of the best all-round physiques.
Nice.
Most of the nicest looking quads, separation. Like, nice. He looks great, right?
That's awesome.
And we started training, and then he kind of realized that I'm not there to compete.
It's not a competition.
And then he kind of started, the ice started breaking down, and then it broke in. And I remember him sitting one day, and he's such a nice person. Whenever I come down, go up to Canada, he's like, let's go have a workout together. Yeah. He's really a good guy, right?
Yeah.
And he sat there and he goes, I just cannot understand why I didn't talk to you sooner. Right. Not all his fault.
Most guys are like that.
And that's it, right? So it's about breaking that ice. I'm hoping the one thing we get through this podcast is getting guys to realize that your ego is a load of shit.
Check the ego at the door.
Check it at the door.
Yeah.
There's other guys in there. Spot each other. Speak to each other. Train together.
For sure. Go.
The minute we spoke.
You told me when we first started training together, like I have a home gym. It's not the most immaculate home gym, but it's above average.
Yeah.
But you're like, nope, like you're coming to the gym. So we started doing that, obviously. Now, like, we went from no gym memberships to two. But you basically, one of the things you were like, you need to talk to people. Like, you had to go to Canada for something. And you're like, you need to talk to people when I'm gone. I'm like, nah, fuck you. Like, I'm not talking to anybody. I did. I talked to a couple people because I knew them. But, like, the point is, like, going to those places, breaking down the barriers that we have. Yes. I've lived this for a long time. Like, I'm really being intentional about getting away from this. Like, when I go places, just being polite, being kind. Because I know I'm a big guy. I'm intimidating.
Yeah. And we close off, right?
I can be closed off. Yeah. And so just like opening up the dialogue to conversations. Like, I went to the Publix over the weekend. I bought some seasoning for the steaks. And the kid's like looking at the seasoning. And normally I just would have said a word. I would have just stood there.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you should try it. It's really good stuff. I was like, it's really good seasoning.
Yeah.
Like, coat your steaks in oil, grill them. Perfect, you know, way to do it. So just doing stuff like that, being intentional to like open myself up and being a leader.
Yeah.
And basically allowing people in to my reality, in my world, right? And recognizing that, like, you know, creating community amongst men is something that has been missing for a long time.
And it requires you to be the change you want to see. We want to see everything we're speaking about. Is you want to speak to
manifest people. It, right? We're going to talk about that. But, like, it's all about manifesting. That's why we're here today. We manifested this.
Yeah. I think our first meeting, the first time I sat in your office, I said to you, listen, I want to do a podcast. Before we go to that route, we're going to train together.
Yeah.
Right, because that's how you learn from my experiences.
Actually, I think that was our very first conversation. We talked about training together.
Yeah, and like, just come train, learn to know the person you're with. This is the same as going to the military. You don't truly know the guy you're with until you're in the shit together.
That's right.
We don't have that out here. This is the normal world.
Right.
So the closest thing you get is going to do a training session with that person, whether it be in the gym, whether you go do kickboxing, boxing, MMA, I don't really care what it is. But sitting into that point where you both push yourself past levels, you get to understand another human being.
Yeah, and I mean, we train together so much that we, like, it's not like the same as much, but like, when you go into a gym environment, like we're bringing communities in, and like you do these hard workouts or these hard things, on the backside of the workout, you feel accomplished and you feel good. Like, well, but fuck, I did that with that guy too. And
then
my wife trains with us too. And like, you know, we walk away from those workouts, like we're seeing a little blurry, but we feel really proud and accomplished from what we did. We never get cheated, ever, you know?
No, push yourself to the limits every time. And some days are better than others, but.
Yeah.
Every day is a good day if it's in the gym.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Every day is a good day in the gym.
I agree, man. This is fun. I'm excited for this.
So, next steps for us is we'll have a couple of episodes coming out. We're going to be expanding this on social media, so you'll see us on all the social media platforms.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the TikTok, but may not be around in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's going to go away.
That's what
it is. Yeah, but just to like, kind of recap real quick, the first episode, basically, my body spirit is our main thing, right? And the core of everything we do is all about fitness.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, our wellness. Because without our bodies, our temple, if you will, we can't be shit.
True.
You know? And I'm excited that we're going to just really break these topics down, really be able to help men and women. I think there's going to be a lot of women audience for us.
Well, they're going to come give us some insights. We're going to learn more about that.
I mean, I think everybody will be able to listen. You know, we're going to bring women on the show, obviously. But, like, to me, like, our audience is, we're really out there trying to help the entrepreneur, the middle-aged man that's, like, trying to figure his shit out and balance it all, have it all. And I'm really just looking forward to being able to just break a lot of these topics down and just help people
and
build
the level
a community.
Of topics. Yeah. Like, it's nonstop. Just mental health alone.
Yeah.
Physical fitness, wellness.
Yeah.
Spirituality. the levels of what you can go into. And as we've had this discussion before, it's just part and parcel of why we're doing this.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Is we've had these discussions, we've broken them, like, you know what? There's insight here. We have
We
want to try and share with as many men as possible.
Well, we're at a point in our lives where we've lived a lot of things and experienced a lot of things, and like, we haven't even touched like your background and how you even got here. And like, there's so much wisdom that can come from just your journey. And my journey is very different, but there's a lot of wisdom share, and there's so much there. And then just bringing in guests and having people on the show to be able to just talk about
their
stuff, right? And so we're going to find resources for that. Yeah, we got a little
buggy. Got to spray your office, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, that's the first one done. Thank you for listening, and we will see you soon.
Yeah.